champion. I once was bound, but now I'm free. I'm a champion, champion.
Oh, I'm overcome by the blood of the Lamb.
Turn to your neighbor and say, you are a winner.
You are a winner. You are victorious.
You can do all things.
Yes, you can.
I think we need to get that last part on the inside of us. A champion lives within me. He's given me authority. I'm bold. I'm strong. I've overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's the vision of this church right now. To go out and witness and spread the gospel. That's the heart we got to have right there. Ready to get it on the inside of you? All right. Here we go. A champion lives within me. He's given me authority. I'm bold. I'm strong. And I'm overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Come on.
A champion lives within me.
Yes, he does.
But now I see how you were there for me, and I say I never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I say I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, oh, much better. When I look back over all you brought me through, oh, I can see you were the one I held on to, and I never.
Because if we don't remember history, we'll forget the present and never know the future. The Old Testament book of 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, beginning of verse 33. In the third year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasa, son of Ashah, became king over all of Israel in Tirzah, and reigned 24 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of Jeroboam, and in his sin, by which he made Israel sin. I'm stopping there for just a moment. How could one man sin make a whole nation sin? Jeroboam sinned. And in his sin, he made all of Israel sin. Chapter 16, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, son of Hananiah, against Bethsaida, saying, Insomuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler of the people of Israel, and you walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins. Anytime God repeats something twice in his word, you need to pay attention to it. And here in just a few verses, God said, Jeroboam sinned, and he made my people Israel sin. Now we're going back in scripture, 1 Kings, the 14th chapter. Just follow along with me. Just one verse here. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. What has this sickness got to do with sin? Has sickness got something to do with sin? Is sickness something maybe that God can use? We're going to stop there. We're going to answer that question in a moment. I want you to go even further back to 1 Kings, the 12th chapter. 1 Kings 12, verse 1. I'm kind of giving you a mystery story this morning. And Rehoboam went to Shechem. For all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard it. He was still in Egypt, for he'd fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt, that they sent and called him. Then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, Your father made our yoke heavy. Now therefore lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put upon you, and we will serve you. What do they mean, your father has made our yoke heavy? Well, first of all, there was a 10% temple tax. It's called the tithe. And so every one of the Jews had to come periodically to the temple. There they had to offer an offering and their tithe. But then the king increased taxes to 50%. So now you had a 60% tax of all of the grain and all of the everything produced in the field. And the people couldn't stand it. The taxes had become so high that they couldn't feed their families. And when they couldn't pay the taxes, what did the king do? He took their property. And when he took their property, then they had to work as virtual slaves upon their own fields. He had made their heavy burden upon them. Now, so he said to them, verse 5, Depart from me 3 days. Come back to me. And the people departed. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived and said, How do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, If you will be a servant to the people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, they'll be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, consulted the young men who'd grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, What advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, Lighten the yoke which your father put on us? And the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, Thus you should speak to this people that have spoken to you, saying, Father made your yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. Whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I'll add to your yoke. What? More taxes? I'll put more taxes on you. You complain about the taxes, I'll give you more. My father chastened you with whips. I'll chasten you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day as the king had directed, saying, come back on the third day. Then the key people answered the people roughly and rejected the advice that the elders had given him. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I'll add to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I'll chasten you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his word, which the Lord had spoken by Adonijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now when Israel saw the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, saying, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to your own house, O David. It always happens when the taxes get too repressive on the people. Some of the things I'm thinking a political message today, I'm not. Do you know why the United States broke off from Great Britain? Taxes. That's what the Tea Party was all about. England was taxing the colonies so heavily they couldn't produce. So Israel departed to their tents. Verse 17, but Rehoboam reigned over the children of Israel who dwelt in the cities of Judah. Then King Rehoboam sent to Adram, who was in charge of the revenue. But all Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam mounted his chariot in haste to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. Now it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam had come back, they sent for him and called him to the congregation and made him king over Israel. There was none that followed the house of David but the tribe of Judah only. It divided the whole nation. This is where you have the 10 northern tribes, and this is where you have the division of the Hebrew to the Jews. You see, those who followed Judah means praise, are the Jewish people, Jews. But the other 10 became the nation of Israel. And they separated right there, the 10 tribes. They went their different ways. Now verse 25, same chapter. And Jeroboam built Shechem in the mountains of Ephraim and dwelt there. And he went out from there and built Peniel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. If these people go up to offer sacrifice to the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore the king asked advice and made 2 calves of gold and said to the people, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, O Jerusalem, which brought you up from the land of Egypt. And he set one in Bethel, and he put the other in Dan. Now this thing became a sin for the people who went to worship before the one as far as Dan. Jeroboam believed in God. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He knew the 10 commandments. He knew that God had set his temple in Jerusalem. He knew that God had said they were to come to Jerusalem to worship. Yet, he also thought this, if the people go back to the temple and they worship God correctly and they begin to praise him, I will lose the people. I will lose the control over the people if they go to praise the Lord. There has always been
and the church. Some of you look at me, a pastor. No. The state has always wanted 100% allegiance. The church has always wanted the heart. It continues today right here in the United States of America. One of the great fights we've had in building the Cathedral of Glory has been over the government. So the pastor was shocked. No. When we first got this land, the City of Greensboro Council said, you can't use this driveway over here because there's not enough exit to it to go to the next road, and there's no stoplight there on Lawndale. We said this situation is very easy. Put a stoplight on Lawndale. They said, no, we won't do that, but you can't have permission for your parking lot. I said, oh, is that right? Okay. We got enough people in the Cathedral's Glory to vote you out of office. Then the man said, get the pastor a cup of coffee and I'll write out his permit. A few years ago, one of the government officials came to our next door neighbors. And they said to them, this fence is going too close to the road between the cathedral and the other properties. If you'll sign a petition, we'll have the cathedral make them put the fence down. The man said, why should I do that? It's my fence. Then they said, it's all right. Recently, they said, we're going to divide the road in front of your church. We're going to build a circle right here on the corner of Lake Jeanette New Garden. And then we're going to put a strip down the middle of the road in front of your church. I said, you do that, and the people can't use the entrance. They can't get in and out. They said, well, we're going to do it to beautify the city. We're going to put in the sidewalk, and then we're going to put a strip right in front of your church, a concrete slip, all the way down. I said, all right, you do that, and I'm going to sue you. They said, how can you sue us? I said, the first person that has a heart attack in my church and an ambulance can't get over that concrete slip, we're going to sue you. The first time a fire truck can't get into this church, we're going to sue you. Oh, they said, well, maybe we better not put it there. I mean, it's always a conflict. Always a conflict between government law and religion. Any kind. They're always trying to prevent us from worshiping God. Now, this was the same thing here. The king said, I know God. I know he's in charge, but you can't worship God in Jerusalem, and you can't worship God the way he said to worship him. You got to do it at my convenience. What? It's too far for the people to go to Jerusalem, so I'll build a place for you at Bethel and one at Dan, and then you can worship God at the place I build for you. And guess what? I'll even make you a god. I'll make you a golden calf, and I'll put one in Dan, I'll put one in Beersheba, and I'll say to you, this is the God who brought you out of Egypt. Then I'll make my own ministry. I'll make my own priesthood. So what? I'd forget Aaron and his children and those God has appointed. I'll make the priest. I'll make the ministers. When you say, Pastor, that don't happen. Oh, it's all over the world. It's all over the world. When governments say, we'll appoint who's going to be the pastor of the church, or we'll appoint, that was one of the reasons for the Protestant Reformation. What? Did you not know that the king or queen of England is the head of the church and appoints the pastors? You know, I ministered recently in Denmark, that all of the state pastors are paid by the state and preach what the state wants them to preach. and are told what their sermons will be next Sunday, unless they're an independent church that's broken off, because the government wants to control worship. See, if the people get a hold of that there is a God, and that God's greater than the government, and God is the supplier, not the government, but God is the supplier, not the government, but God is the supplier, then the people get free. We have to recognize who our God is. Jeroboam substituted his own ideas for God's commandment. He knew God's word, but he was only going to accept that part of the word which was convenient to him. And we have church people like that all the time. What? I believe the Bible is the word of God, but there's nothing in that book about speaking in tongues. Huh? Oh, I believe that God is the word, that's the whole word of God, but God won't heal today. Oh? I believe this Bible to be the word of God, but God won't prosper you. Is that right? See, they want to believe the part of the book they want to believe and put all the rest aside. Well, that's what Jeroboam's sin was. Now, like most, when he had a need, hello, folks, when he had a need, then he wanted to turn to God, and he wanted God to meet his need. He wanted to be ruler over God, not God over God. Wait a minute. We don't have any folks like that at all, do we? When I need something, when I want healing, then I'll go serve him. Then I'll rush to a healing evangelist. Don't expect me to come to church and worship every Sunday and believe in God that way. No, but when I need something, I'll go where there's a healing evangelist. Well, wait a minute. Don't expect me to give every week, but when I need something, I'll give expecting God to give me back. Or I'll say the right mantra. You know what I'm talking about, the mantra? The right words. And when I say the right words, God will do what I want him to do. That's his king, Jeroboam. And God said, all of that is an insult to me. 1 Kings 14. And let's start with verse 1 again through verse 4. At that time, Abinadab, the son of Jeroboam, became sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, please arise, disguise yourself, so they may not recognize you as the wife of Jeroboam. Go to Shiloh. Indeed, Ahijah, the prophet, is there, who told me that I would be king over this people. Take with you 10 loaves, some cakes, and a jar of honey. Go to him, and he'll tell you what will become of the child. So Jeroboam's wife did so. She arose and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were glazed by reason of his age. He wants what he can get. His son is sick. So he says, what? Let's fool God. Fool God's man. Fool the Holy Spirit. I'll have my wife dress up in rags. I'll take the tiara out of her hair and have her hair uncombed. I'll take off all her makeup and I'll make her look like a dirty peasant woman. And I'll send her down to the prophet of God. And see if the prophet of God now will move to heal my son. I'm going to fool God. How many are beginning to catch the end of this story that you can't fool God? That you can't play games with him? Well, understand something, Pastor. I said I accept Jesus. So therefore, God owes me. He owes me heaven. He owes me a beautiful life. He owes me no problems. And God is fooled because I said with my mouth, I accepted Jesus. Pastor, are you preaching against that? No. I'm saying there's more to it than that. Listen, you've got to have more. Turn to Acts 2, 38. Somebody took a breath and said, oh boy, he got to the New Testament. Acts 2. Then Peter said to them, verse 38, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, that you may receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is to you and to your children and all who are far off, as many upon the Lord God will call. First step, salvation without repentance is impossible. What is repentance? I demonstrated it last week. You're going this way in sin, and God says, turn around. If your salvation experience hasn't changed your life, you didn't have a salvation experience. Whoa, Pastor. If the Holy Ghost comes in you, he will change you. And repent means to allow him to make a change. When you give your life to God, there's going to be a change in your life. Grace is not easy. It cost God his son on the cross. And he says to you, take up your cross and follow me. It will demand a change in your life. The book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Not just because you have a need from God, because you're going to change. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and, underlined, holiness. What does holy mean? Obeying God, being like Jesus. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Now you sound like a Pentecostal preacher. I am. And I'm not talking about physical things. I'm not talking about the way you wear your hair or what you eat or what you drink. I'm talking about the inward part of your life. Amen. Without holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest there be any bitterness springing up, causing trouble. And many of those become defiled. Lest there be a fornicator or a profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. You've not come to the mountain that may be touched, it burned with fire, in the blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. For they could not endure which was commanded. And if so much as the beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I'm exceedingly afraid and trembling. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of men just perfect, to Jesus, the mediator, a new covenant, and the blood of the sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. See, the point of it is, Paul, they asked Paul, since we're saved by grace, and we're going to heaven, can't we go ahead and sin? And Paul said, God forbid. Don't count the grace of God as if it were nothing. What? No, 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 no. That bitterness in you, that rejection in you, that which is not part of God's love, get rid of it. You're going to come before the judgment bar of Christ. Now let's go back to 1 Kings, chapter 13. I want to show you that the man knew. Jeroboam knew. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord. That Bethel is where he built the golden calf. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried out against the altar, the man of God, by the word of the Lord, and said, "Altar, altar, thus saith the Lord God, behold, a child, Josiah by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests in the high places who burn incense on you. And men's bones shall be burned on you." And he gave a sign the same day, saying, "This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out." So it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar at Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, "Arrest him." Then his hand, which he stretched out towards him, withered, so he could not pull it back to himself. The altar was also split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign of the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Then the king answered and said to the man, "Please entreat the favor of the Lord your God. Pray for me that my hand may be restored to me." So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, became as before. Then the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me. Refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward." But the man of God said to the king, "If you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor to eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel." See, the king knew. He had no doubt at all. He knew it was God. He saw the miracle. He put out his hand and it turned leprosis. When the man of God prayed, he pulled it back and it was healed. And then what did he try to do? He tried to bribe the preacher. Well, this guy is so far off. He said, "You come to my house, I'll give you a reward. Just don't preach what God told you to preach. Just don't do what God told you to do. You come to my house and I'll do it." Oh, my people. I remember when Mary and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost and I got my prayer language. I had one deacon in the church then say, "You can't speak in tongues. I gave you a pair of shoes for Christmas." I said, "You think you bought me for a pair of shoes? You think that's as cheap as I can go?" "Well, if you don't preach what I want, I'll leave this church." Don't let the door hit you in the rear end. This ministry is not for sale. This man of God said, "I don't care what it was, you cannot get it from me." Then the question comes up, but can you deceive God? 1 Kings 14, 5. I read it to you early and told you about it, but I want you to show it in the scriptures. Now the Lord had said to Ahijah, "Here's the wife of Jeroboam coming to ask you something about your son, for he's sick. Thus and thus shall you say to her, for it will be when she comes in that she'll pretend to be another woman." And so it was when Ahijah heard the sound of her footsteps as she came through the door, he said, "Come in, wife of Jeroboam." Why do you pretend to be another person? For I have sent to you with bad news. Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel, and tore the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to you. And yet you have not been my servant as David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. But you've done more evil than all those who were before you. For you've gone and made yourselves other gods and molded images to provoke me to anger and to cast me behind your back. Therefore, behold, I will bring disaster upon the house of Jeroboam, and I'll cut off from Jeroboam every male in Israel bound and free, and I'll take the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as one takes away refuge till it's gone. The dogs shall eat whatever belongs to Jeroboam and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whatever dies in the field, for the Lord has spoken. Arise and go to your own house. When your feet enter the city, the child shall die. And all of Israel shall mourn in him and bury him, for he's the only one of Jeroboam who shall come to the grave, because in him there is found, underline it, something good towards the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Moreover, the Lord will rise up for himself a king over Israel. He shall cut off the house of Jeroboam this way and that day, even now. For the Lord will strike Israel as a reed is shaken in the water. He'll uproot Israel from its good land, which he gave to the fathers. He will scatter them behind the river, because they have made their wooden images, provoking the Lord to anger. He will give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who sinned, there it is, and made Israel sin, worshiping the golden calves. Then Jeroboam's wife rose and departed and came to Tisra. And when she came to the threshold of the house, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoken through his servant, Azariah the prophet. Oh, my word. That child hadn't done anything. That was a little boy. Papa sinned, but the boy died. Isn't that terrible? Isn't God awful? No. No, you don't understand. For I found in the boy something good. I found in the boy something good. What? Death is not the end. See, had that child lived, he would have become the next king. He would have followed the evil of his father. And when he died, he'd have gone to hell. But since God allowed him to be removed, are you following me? God allowed him to die. Because God said, I found something good in him, and I don't want it destroyed by his father and the people around him. So I'll let him die and take him to heaven to keep you from destroying him and sending him to hell. It's a lesson for us. It's a lesson we need to learn. That somehow God will allow things that seem awful painful and awful harmful and awful hurting, but they're really for our good and really for the good of that child. God wasn't punishing the child by letting him die. God wasn't destroying the child. God said, I found something good in that boy, and I'm going to keep it. Because if I let it stay here, you would destroy it and corrupt it. But I'm going to take it with me. Folks, you can't manipulate God. He's sovereign. He's in charge. You mean we can't pray? No, no, I didn't say you couldn't pray. You mean God won't change things? Yes, God will change things. But what has to change first? You. Your heart. You can't demand something of God for your selfishness. Amen. Well, Pastor, I'm going to confess by his stripes I'm healed. Are you still angry with your neighbor? Are you still mad with the church? Are you still mad with somebody else? Are you carrying aught in your heart? Talking about the Lord's Supper, he said that's why many of them died. Why? They still had bitterness. They didn't discern the body of Christ. And they died. They still had it in them. You can't demand of God. You can ask God. You can plead to God, and the sins of a righteous man and prayers of a righteous man avail much. But you can't keep right on going in your sin when God has said stop and then expect God's blessing. Hello. Amen. Boy, it's somber in this place. I thought God would do whatever I asked him to do. He will, when you're following him. He will when you're walking with him. He will when you're worshiping him. He will when your heart is right towards him. But you can't manipulate him. You can't turn God. Your words, your actions, your deeds, your demands are not going to change God. What's got to change? You've got to change. Book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, verse 11. Oh, I didn't get real excited about this message. I know you haven't. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of the soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we must give account. You can't hide it. God sees the intent of your heart. He knows why you want what you want. He knew in Jeroboam, all Jeroboam wanted was his kingdom. All Jeroboam wanted was his power. All Jeroboam, he wasn't concerned about his son. He wanted his son to continue his power and his kingdom. God will answer your prayers, but he wants to know what's in your heart, and you can't fool him. He can read it. Book of Titus, the 2nd chapter, the 11th verse. For the grace of God that brings salvation, hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? Yes, sir. Has appeared to all men, teaching us. What does it teach us? Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Then he says to Titus, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise you. Why did he say it? Because when you preach the truth, the people will despise you. They don't want to hear it. Now notice what he tied it into. Purify yourselves, a special people. Look goodness, deny ungodliness. Live soberly, righteously, godly. Why?
at the glorious appearing of our great God, Savior Jesus Christ. There are two judgments in this Bible. The great white throne judgment, which will judge every person whose name is not written in the book of life. And they're all condemned because they did not give their life to Christ. Pastor, are you preaching hell? Yes, it's real. As much is said about hell as in heaven. And all who deny Jesus Christ will go to hell. They will be judged in the great white throne. But there's a second judgment. It's called the Bema of Christ. Who's going to be judged in the Bema? We are. What? Christians are. Our heart and our attitude will be before Him. Every sin you do not repent of, every sin you do not ask for forgiveness of, every sin you do not apply the blood to, will remove from your status of your works here what you've done for the Lord. And He will know the mind and intent of your heart. Now, I don't say that with great pleasure. Man, I don't want to be in heaven. And I'll be there because of the grace of God through Jesus Christ. But I don't want to be there with unforgiveness in my mind and heart. I don't want to be there and walk into the largest television screen I've ever seen in my life. And Bob Barker or Peter or somebody else will come out and say, Paul Willis, this is your life. This is what you had on your mind. This is your thoughts. And Mary will be sitting on the front row looking at it. Oh, Lord, 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 no, 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 no. Not that, Lord. Not that, Lord, no, no, no. Forgive me of all my trespasses. Reveal them to me. Show me whereupon I've sinned, O God. Help me repent. Help me day by day to be more into the image of Jesus and put those things under the blood so that I may never see them again. Hallelujah. He said if we confess our sins, He's what? He's faithful. They're gone. They're not whitewashed. They're washed away. They won't be seen at the beam of Christ. They won't be seen on that big screen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Because you can't fool Him. You might fool yourself. You might fool your wife. You might fool your husband. You might even fool your children and your boss. But you can't fool Him. And that was the sin of Jeroboam. He fooled Israel. It's just as good to worship the golden calf as it is to worship God. It's just as good to keep my commandments as it is to keep the Ten Commandments. You can be sanctified at the golden calf just like you can be sanctified in Jerusalem. And He caused the whole nation to sin. Why? Because He loved power. He wanted to be king. He was afraid if they went back to God and worshiped God, He might lose His power. He might lose His authority. He might lose everything else. If the people were free enough to worship God, He could lose everything. And He'd rather have everything than have God's forgiveness. And so Paul tells Titus and Timothy, warn the people. Woe be to the trumpeter if he sounds forth an uncertain sound. If I stood up here in this pulpit and I told you and everybody watching my television that, hey man, you're all right.
just go on your merry way. Go ahead, live in your sin all you want to. Just, you can get by with it. People will be fooled. You can do it. Just come here, give your tithe. Let me get prosperous off of you. Ha, dog. Yeah. You're going to be fine. Then God will hold your sin to my account. Whoa, I don't want that. I got enough problem with my own. Got enough problem with my own. But God says, don't give forth an uncertain sound. Tell the people what? Believe in your heart. It's a difference in the heart and head. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and forgiven you your sins. Confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord. And once that's done, then walk in the forgiveness of God. Grow in grace. Walk in his Spirit. Become a holy people because God, our Lord, is holy.